Blog Talk Radio. At 10:30 at night, and I was so excited when he called me back and accepted my invitation to be on the show. So today, it's going to be a great, great show. If you know anybody who is looking for funding, whose business is struggling, you need to tweet them, text them, everything you can do to let them know that we're on the air at 11 o'clock. We're going to have Mr. Edwards Barnes telling us how we can secure funding for our small business. So that's that. I want to invite you to be part of my Lifestyle Awakening webinar series. And the theme for this webinar series is entitled A New You Without Plastic Surgery or Dieting. And this first series will begin on February the 8th, that's 2 days, in 2 days. The next one will be on February the 15th, and the other one will be on February the 22nd. You can go to eventbrite.com, and look for the A New You Without Plastic Surgery or Dieting event, and you can register there. If you register today, you can get the entire three-part series for $87.97 for all three. If you register tomorrow, the 7th, up until the day of the event, you pay $97.97 for all three series, for all 3 days in the series. And if you are saying, well, I can only do 1 day, you can register for $37.97 and you will be able to attend 1 day. You will only be able to get access to the information on that day, because every day we will be doing something different. We will be teaching on something different. So I hope to see you on the webinar, A New You Without Plastic Surgery or Dieting. Now, the next thing I want to remind you, I was thinking that my mailbox would be overflooded with the requests. However, the requests are coming in very lean. And I don't know what, if you guys really don't appreciate the value of getting $150 assessment for free. I don't know if you don't appreciate that, why you have not requested it. So again, I'm reminding you that 2 weeks ago, my honored guest, Mr. Radish Tedla, had offered you for free, F-R-E-E, in bold red letters, free guys, $150 as emotional intelligence assessment tool. He was giving that to everyone on my radio show that day who was listening. And all you need to do to access that is to send an email to me. And in the subject line, you put emotional intelligence assessment, and I'll get it out to you. My email that you'll use for that is dynamicdaphne1@gmail.com. And Daphne is D-A-P-H-N-E. dynamicdaphne1@gmail.com. So I'm hoping that today my mailbox will be flooded with the request, because it's $150, guys, that you will not have to spend for that. And trust me, it is worth it. It is going to give you some insights about who you are emotionally. Now, The next thing, I am looking for some devoted volunteers, both for my studio in Danbury and also to work out of the Bridgeport studio. I have been offered an opportunity to start a new show over in Bridgeport. And I'm praying about doing it live every time I get over there, where I can have interaction with you, my listeners out there in the community. However, in order for me to do that, I will need to have enough volunteers. So for those of you who are willing to learn, you won't have to pay for the training. You get around about 12 or 14 hours of training in the areas of film development, lighting, graphics, editing, the works, just every aspect it takes to create and develop and produce a show. Again, if you are interested in volunteering for me, whether in the Bridgeport studio, the Danbury studio, or even here on the A New Day radio show, please let me know by sending me an email at dynamic, D-A-P-H-N-E, and the numeral 1 at gmail.com. So that's all of my housekeeping. We spoke about the webinar. I hope to see you there. And you know, at 11 o'clock today, I have Mr. Barnes coming in to talk to us about the small business funding. So I'm excited about that, and I know you should be excited about that as well. So, and again, remember to claim your free emotional assessment tool by sending me an email at dynamicdaphne and the numeral 1 at gmail.com. Also, I want to welcome guest 704 to the show. My honored guest, Mr. Edward Barnes, will be joining us at 11 a.m. to speak about small business funding. So if you're an entrepreneur already up and running or you're getting ready to start your business, you are at the right place at the right time. I must tell you guys, as a matter of fact, I have an appointment with him after the show to talk about securing some funding for my business. Ah, I forgot to share that yesterday I had my first interview with the publishers for Mission Unstoppable, and that's the book that I'm going to be co-authoring with George Frazier, Susan Taylor, and Randall Pinkett. And I tell you, it was such a powerful, powerful interview. So much that the person that was interviewing me was crying. I was crying, and I said, oh, my God. It's like you hear your own story. And each time you hear your own story, you look and you said, I have come this far only by faith. So I said to her at the end of the interview, I just prayed that my story will be adding value to the book. And she said, you kidding me? I just listened to you and you have helped me to connect to what I am about. So I am excited about that. I want to encourage you to keep tuned and keep on the lookout for that. Look out for the new Mission Unstoppable book. All right, as I said, for the next 45 minutes, I'm going to be working from Susie Orman's book, The Road to Wealth. a comprehensive guide to your money. And I am going to share from the chapter that speaks about financial intimacy. Financial intimacy. And I'm going to be reading verbatim from the book. And I figure this is a good conversation for us to be engaged in until our financial expert gets here at 11 a.m. Because whatever money we get from him or through his organization, it will help us to understand the different components and areas that we need to focus on. I also need to remind you to go to GoFundMe.com, where you can really help to get the word out about my nonprofit there for the breakfast feeding program over there in Jamaica, West Indies. So go to GoFundMe and look for the Carmel Moravian School Breakfast Feeding Program and Cafeteria Building. So now let's go into financial intimacy. And I'm Susie Orman wrote, people first, then money. Falling in love is simple, or so it often seems in retrospect. Sooner or later, however, disagreements crop up and love becomes a much more complicated business. Can you guess one of the most common subjects of disagreement between couples, married or unmarried? No surprise here, it's money. Everywhere I go, I hear the same complaint. We are fighting about money. Arguments about money are the catalyst for more separations and divorces than you can imagine. Why? Because people's attitudes and fears about their money give it power and the ability to wreak havoc on the most important relationship in their lives. Yet, there's a simple answer. I have said it before, and I'll say it again. Place people first, money second. Whether you are falling in love, living with someone, getting married, getting divorced, or starting your life over again, following the death of someone you love, the people in your life come first. This doesn't mean that people have no relevance to love. However, of all the kinds and degrees of intimacy that exist in the world, physical, emotional, social, professional, or domestic, financial intimacy is one of the most satisfying and perhaps the hardest to achieve. If you and your partner or spouse haven't walked carefully through all of the money matters that might come up in time, I promise you that money will one day become an obstacle in your relationship. When financial change comes to you, and for better or worse, it will come. It will have the potential to become a minefield of undisclosed expectations or fears. I want to welcome my friend, Miss Computer Lady. Hello, my darling. I have not seen you forever, girl. How are you doing? Our financial expert will be joining us at 11. But I wish to hear your voice. I hope you'll call in a little later. So thanks, Miss Computer Lady, for taking the time out. We go way, 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 way back when I just began this show. So I'm really elated to see you here in the chat room today. Okay, so we're talking about, I'm reading verbatim from Susie Amman's book. The Road to Wealth. And the following question and answers aren't meant to scare you away from making a commitment to the person you love. They are meant to demonstrate just how important and how sacred a life commitment is, and explain the role that money plays in making it work. Wonderful, Miss Computer Lady. I tell you, you are an amazing woman. Yes, you're better than me, girl, because it's not my habit to multitask. But if you can cope with it, go right ahead. You know, I don't know whether you were on when I mentioned that I have an appointment with Mr. Edward Barnes after the show to talk about how I can get some funding for my business, because you and I know that this is the year that we got to make some waves, different financial waves this year. And I know that you are on the same page with me. All right. I know she's typing something, and I'll go back and read it. Emotions and money. Are people really so different from one another when it comes to money? Yes, they are. How are they different? Can be very hard to see when you are in love and love is new, and can be very painful to discover after you have made a commitment. But to get an idea of some potential sore points, consider how you have handled your own money as a single person. Have you sometimes spent money that you need for other expenses or obligations? Put off saving for the future? Occasionally let your bills pile up? These things may not strike you as significant, but when a second person, a fiancé or a spouse, has a stake in your finances and you have a in his or hers, undisciplined habits, thoughtless spending, or even incompatible views on how to manage money can strike at the core of the safety and security you want to feel in the relationship. Let me hear what Miss Computer Lady said. Didn't hear you mention that, but yes, you are alternate financing that work. I think yes. As a matter of fact, Miss Computer Lady, I want you to send me an email at dynamicdaphne1, and please put in the subject line "emotional intelligence assessment." My guest last week, Mr. Radish Tedler, gave away an emotional assessment tool which costs $150. He gave it away to all my guests. And I think each and every one of us as entrepreneur needs to do that assessment. So please send me an email at dynamicdaphne1, the numeral 1, and you can get one of that assessment. And if you have other people that you want to have get it too, have them send me an email so I can get it out to you guys. Okay. I'm going back and forth. I don't know. I have seen my producer. I hope he's doing well. How can my girlfriends and my different attitudes toward money potentially be damaging to our relationship? Start to pay attention and you'll see. Every day, probably without realizing it, you observe how your girlfriend behaves with and reacts to money. You witness big things, like how she handles her debt, and the little things, like whether she is generous or cautious when leaving a tip. Believe me, if some of the things you have noticed irk you now, they will irk you more over time. In the early stages of love, people tend to overlook what they don't like about each other's management of money. The subject seems at once both too petty and too important to discuss. So most people don't mention it at all. If you find yourself in this situation, you are giving money the ultimate power, the power of silence. That's a good idea. However, we want people to take the responsibility of sending the email to get it. This way, we can have their information to send other material to them, computer lady. Gmail at gmail.com. I'm sorry, Miss Computer Lady. Let me type it in. Dynamic Daphne 1. D-U-N-A-M-I-C. Dynamic Daphne. D-A-P-H-N-E. The numeral 1 at gmail.com. So, once you send, there it is, dynamicdaphne1@gmail.com. Once we get the email, we will send it out to you. The next section we are reading here, I'm waiting on my expert to be here at 11. What are the most common problems couples face concerning money? What are the most common problems couples face concerning money? Most couples think they have problems with money for one or more of the following reasons. One partner spends too much while the other spends too little. One partner doesn't care enough about money while the other cares too much. Or one partner has too much money and therefore too much power while the other has too little. Sound familiar? In my experience, however, the problems couples face have little to do with money itself. They have more to do with how partners feel about money. Since most of us have been thought to view money as a kind of report card signaling how well we are doing relatively to others, we tend to measure our self-worth by our earning potential, the size and location of our house, the clothes we wear, the cars we drive, the schools we send our children to, our bank balance, and so on, and not by our thoughts, feelings, and deeds. We value the financial results of our actions more likely than we value the actions themselves or their effort on other people. This is especially true if we have come to believe, so as so many of us have, that money is a synopsis with security, that money and money alone will provide for us and keep us safe. When our perceptions and priorities are thus skewed and we put money for people, that is when we encounter problems in relationships. Talking about money is an antidote. It lays bare some of these underlying issues, and that's how problems can be prevented or solved. What kinds of financial issues should my fiancé and I discuss before we get married? You should talk openly about your respective attitudes towards spending, debt, and saving. Be sure not to simply ask or think, who's going to pay for what? Although that's an important question, we get to later. You and your fiancé should ask each other and frankly answer questions about how well you share, how much you tend to spend and on what, how much you save, how much you invest, and what your long-term financial goals are. Start by discussing how each of you feel about basic issues of financial responsibilities. Will you support each other in adversity? Do you both view any obligations you may have to put your respective families in the same way? How do you feel about respective responsibility to ex-spouses or children from a former relationship, if any? On more mundane level, who will manage the household bill, paying and bookkeeping? Be candid about the past and present. Is one of you in debt, carry a large credit card balance, perhaps, or a student loan that should be paid off? As a couple, what will you do about that? Does one of you have a bad credit rating? And if so, how will you work together to repair it? Discuss the future. Do you plan to pool your money or wish to keep part or all of it separate? What will happen if one of you gets a job offer that requires the household to move? How will you decide those job takes precedence? If you have planned to have children, what will you do if one of you wants to stay home with them? Do you see eye to eye about the financial decisions involving child rearing, such as the cost for private versus schools? And even through retirement may seem a long way off, do you agree about the importance of investing for the future? Do you have similar goals and dreams for your later years? Are you investing styles in sync? Are your investing styles in sync? If you don't start thinking and talking about these issues now, they are likely to become more complicated and difficult in discussing as time goes on. Though you may not be in full agreement on every issue before you marry, your relationship will be stronger or for having talked through some of the similarities, differences, and concerns. You say our investment style should be in sync. Why? People have different tolerance levels for risk. Some are very conservative when it comes to investing. They want steady growth and consistent income over the years. Others are willing to accept potential short-term losses on investments that promise great returns in the long run. Still, others are willing to invest in something that carries significant risk if there is potential for a very large gain. But far too many people haven't discussed how much risk they and their partners are willing to take with their shared wealth. What if my future partner's attitude toward money is very different from mine? Do you believe that people can change their financial attitudes and habits simply by talking about them? Yes, I do, Susie says. For one thing, if you can state clearly and frankly what you find admirable on the one hand or problematic and troubling on the other about the way your loved one deals with money, then your point of view is known to both of you. Second, once you start talking honestly about money, you will be better able to understand the basis of each other's attitudes and behaviors. This will help you both to compromise on issues of money management. For example, if you know that a partner who seems to be unreasonable, reluctant to spend money, or probably simply afraid of losing what he or she has, believing that there isn't enough wealth in the world to go around, you may be more patient in your approach to him or her. If you are aware that the fast-spending partner is attempting to use money to compensate for a lack of self-esteem, you and your partner can work together to resolve this deeper issue. The goal is very case in any gradually building a financial relationship that satisfies both you. Remember, though, that worthwhile changes often come slowly. Promise each other you will keep your dialogue about money going. My fiance always ends up getting angry when we talk about money. How comes? The way people talk about money, their expressions, their tones of voice, their timing can be as revealing as what is actually said. Remember, for most people, talking about money is an intimate and unfamiliar act. If your fiancé gets angry when talking about money, that in itself is very important key to his feelings about money and may be at least partly a result of the way he is raised. If you're listening in another 19 and a half minutes, I will be joined by our honored guest, Mr. Edward Barnes, who will be speaking about small business funding. And I want to encourage you to just text your friends or put it on Facebook and just tell any persons who is looking for small business funding to tune in at 11 to this show. So just encourage the people to come by. All right. How does a person's family background affect his or her feelings about money? How people have been raised has a huge effect on how they view and manage money. The odds that you and your fiancé come from identical financial family background are pretty slim. I'm not talking about how much money your family or your partner's family had when you were growing up. I'm talking about the subject of money was how the subject of money was handled. Was money a source of anxiety, embarrassment, or conflict? Was it discussed openly in urgent whispers? Not at all. Did one parent overspend while the other watched every penny? Did the family pretend it had more money than it did? Did you or does your partner feel embarrassed about your economic background? A number of childhood experiences can create fear, shame, or anger about money, any of which can inhibit open discussion and wise management. My advice, once again, keep talking calmly and compassionately until you get all this stuff out in the open. Get to know the person you are going to marry in a financial way. I want to welcome guest 825 to the show. Our money expert will be joining us in 17 minutes. Thank you for logging in. Right now, I am just sharing some pointers from Susie Ammon's book, The Road to Wealth, A Comprehensive Guide to Your Money. And I'm sharing from the chapter, Financial Intimacy. So thank you for joining us. And please, if you're a Facebook person, put it on Facebook to ask your friends and followers to join us at 11 a.m. when Mr. Barnes will be here. Now, living together. I am about to move in with my boyfriend of 5 years. Do I need to prepare myself financially for this? Absolutely. Today, many couples, young couples just starting out, older couples who prefer not to marry, and same-sex couples are living together, accumulating wealth together, and buying property together. And they require many of the same financial and legal protections that married couples have. In some instances, they require added protection, since if they eventually split up and divide their assets, they have few of the automatic legal protections that married couples have. I note, some unmarried couples choose not to marry because they dislike the prospect of being bound by legal contract. Some think marriage is just a formality. Others have been married and burned and don't want to make the same mistake again. Whatever your reasons for not marrying, you should be aware that without a written agreement, you may be legally vulnerable in a number of ways. How am I vulnerable if I live with someone without an agreement? To take a typical case, consider what might happen if you and your living partner decide to buy a home together. If your partner is making a larger contribution to the down payment than you are, it may seem to make sense to hold the property solely in your partner's name. But if you split up, guess who gets the house? Your partner does. Or say that both names are on the title. Although you contributed a larger amount for the down payment, what happens if you split up? You could lose your larger share and only get half. Or perhaps you assume you have the right for joint tenancy with your partner, meaning that if your partner dies, 100% of the house will go to you. But when he dies, you discover that you misread the title and that instead of being a joint tenant, you are a tenant in common. This means that your partner's share of the house goes directly to his estate, which he may have left to his younger brother. By law, the brother can move in with you. Property can become a troublesome issue without a contract. Are there any other problems I can get into without a contract? Yes, especially if you separate. If you have been financially dependent on your living partner, for example, without a contract, you will have no legal right to receive ongoing financial support from him or her. Also, you may have no right to share in any of the assets your partner may have accumulated. Perhaps with your help during the years you live together, this may or may not come as a surprise to you, but it has caused grief to many long-time partners who assumed they would be provided for but weren't. Okay, I think my honored guest has called in. I want to welcome Jeff Slim to the show, and I think I have my honored guest online, and I am very excited. Good morning. Is this Mr. Edwards? Mr. Barnes, excuse me, your last three digits are 3092.
That's correct.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Mr. Barnes?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Wonderful. As a matter of fact, I was using the first hour prior to your coming to just prep the listeners. I was working from Susie Ammon's book, The Road to Wealth. And I chose to go with the chapter money and intimacy, because this way it will prepare the listeners when they listen to you to listen with attention. So I am honored to have you here. Thanks for coming on at such short notice. At the top of the hour, I was explaining to the listeners that I was privileged to be part of the 72-hour retreat and heard your presentation there and thought that you would be a value added to have on this show. So without any further delay, I want to just allow you to take the mic and just take as much time as you want to introduce yourself to listeners. Know that you are speaking to close to 85,000 listeners around the world if everybody decides they're tuning in. So do your best with them. So introduce yourself, please.
Hi, listeners out there. Hi, I'm Edward Barnes. I'm with a company called the Business Finance Store. I'm also an accountant that I take care of accounting, business, and payroll, bookkeeping and payroll, excuse me. And we take care of different financial needs for different customers. I also establish business entities and structure new companies for mm-hmm. people. And doing so, we try to acquire funding for them in different means and manners that a lot of people don't are not familiar, they don't really okay. recognize a lot of times throughout the industry.
Mr. Barnes, I want to stop you a bit. I don't want you to go into that part yet. I want to help people understand a little bit more about who you are. As you look okay. back at your adult life and your journey, where did it start? I want to get people with you. You know how we say that people do business with people they trust and love and respect. So this is what I want this little introduction to do. I want them to see clearly who Edward Barnes is, where is he coming from, what brought him to where he is right now, why should we trust him with our business. So tell them about your humble beginnings, if it was at least humble or exorbitant, I don't know.
Well, really, to be honest with you, my beginnings were very humble. You know, I grew up in a rural area of the South. And in that rural area, we were only afforded to go to public school. Mm. And my growing desire came from a desire of learning more about finances and business, because both my parents worked, well, my parents really started out working as sharecroppers on a farm. And I grew up in that environment in the rural South. And then they left the farms to go to industrial jobs, and they started working industrial jobs, but neither one of them learned to have their own business, even though, per se, if you work in farming, you do have your own business, but you're always working for someone else in many senses. So it was ingrained in me when I was younger always to grow up and, you know, learn to have your own business and learn how to manage and run and have your own business. So that was a journey that I have done and had several different businesses before, and still have different businesses that today. But my growing desire came from wanting to obtain and acquire more financial knowledge, and through that, learn more about finances and share the information that I do learn with other individuals.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And that's what I'm talking about. And thank you for so eloquently delivering that. Because you and I are fully aware that there are many experts out there, millionaires, billionaires out there, who really not giving us the whole story. You know, and that's why there are so many people now who is looking for overnight success without paying their dues, because so much infomercial out there and so many people telling them, oh, in 24 hours you can become a billionaire. And they're so gullible that they think it is true. So when somebody like you come around and show us the step-by-step process that we need to follow to accumulate wealth and to leave a legacy for others. We don't want to hear it because we think that, oh, no, I ain't going to work that hard. You know, so people got to understand that it can happen when we do it the right way. So thanks for your diligence. Thanks for your perseverance. And thanks for your many tolerance, because I know it wasn't easy. You know, and I know your journey sounds something like me. But thank you for remaining and for becoming committed to want to help us. Do you want to say anything about what I just said or no?
Well, one of the things in addition that I wanted to share with the listening audience is that one of my biggest frustrations came when I was attending college. And so I attended college and I finished my graduate degree. And upon finishing that graduate degree, I was a bit frustrated with the whole economic system, because in obtaining that degree, they taught me how to get knowledge of finances and how to manage and run other people's businesses, but they never taught me how to go out and run and manage and do my own business. So that was also an additional desire as well. Even though I obtained the graduate degree level, you know, that was there. And that, now don't get me wrong, I'm for education. I'm for school and education. But there are some things that you have to learn in business that they don't teach you in the degree school.
The system program us to go out there to work for somebody else. So
that's true.
Got to take the education and dissect and see how can we use it to be successful entrepreneurs and small business people. So you're so right, and this is what a lot of us are going through. We as grown people are going through right now. But if we look on the younger generation, they are using their dorm rooms to create multi-million-dollar company. And some of them, once they have the money coming in, then they quit college. But it's not that we're hitting the system. Let me see. Someone in the one of my colleagues from out in Ohio is on the phone. She is a business owner out there in Ohio. She said here, amen to that. She's saying amen to what you just said. She's in the chat room. There had been a lot of things I learned in business and that needed to be taught. And that's true. But you see, the colleges and the systems are not preparing us to go out there and to create the wealth and the legacy for our families. They want us to go out there and slave for others. I want to welcome guest 912 to the show. So thanks for your commitment. So now we have an hour and 1 minute. So let's talk about what you do for us as small business owner and entrepreneurs. And I'm telling people, get your pads, get whatever you take notes with and get ready to jot this down. So where do we start? Because some of us, we don't have good credit and we don't have the security. We just don't have anybody to back us. We are just solo out here. What is your hopes for us, Mr. Barnes?
Well, the things that I'm going to share with you are going to be steps that anyone can take, regardless of where you are. It doesn't make a difference where your credit is. It doesn't make a difference financially where you are, because the things I'm going to share with you are going to make you have knowledge and have the availability to. And even if you do have some of the things that are already necessary and you have a successful running business, you still can partake in and get additional funding and capital for your business as well. So and it'll be useful for everyone at different levels. So,
this is news to our ears. So
yeah.
You have the floor. You have the microphone. So you from the beginning.
Okay. One of the places I'm going to share with you to let you know that, you know, that there is help that's out there. But what my company does is that we share with people how to go and get unsecured business lines of funding, and they also can get personal lines of funding, and they can also get retirement funding, and they also can get what we call revenue-generated business funding as well. So I'm going to be talking about those four different areas in our conversation today.
All right. Go by them slower again. Unsecured line of funding.
For our business, unsecured business lines of funding.
Unsecured.
We're going to go over unsecured personal lines of funding. Then we're going to be talking about retirement-backed funding for business. And then we're going to be talking about revenue-based funding.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so get your papers and get ready. So we're going to talk about unsecured business line of funding.
Yes.
Okay.
That will be the first thing that we'll start off with.
Yes.
And that's a great misnomer to most people, because most people don't have knowledge about acquiring funding for a business. Even though they're a startup business and they've just started and they've just got their paperwork and they've been incorporated or they became a limited liability company, they can still acquire and get funding. Now, one of the things that is going to be a deciding factor is, yes, it's going to be credit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't let credit stop you, per se, because we have a program that we offer people that have what we call credit sponsors. So that won't be a hindrance to you. You can still go out and get the necessary funding that you need to have. But in the unsecured business lines of funding, they'll be looking at your credit score. One of the things that you're going to have that's a main, I guess a mandatory thing is a score of 700 plus. We're looking really above 720, that you should have above that 720 score to get the unsecured business lines of funding. And a lot of people don't have that 720 credit score plus, but there are people that they do know that have that 720 credit score. One of the nationally known, and I'm going to talk about this magazine because I've researched it and looked at it for the last year, and they send a free subscription to me every month, and it's a company called Black Enterprise, or it's a magazine, excuse me, called Black Enterprise, and a lot of people will get it. And inside that magazine, if you look in the back of that magazine, as I have in the last year, they'll have an advertisement there for business or credit partners, that those business and credit partners have to have a 720 plus credit score. Those business or credit partners that they advertise and market for, they give them a bonus or sign-on fee of $10,000. And basically that money is money that's acquired through the actual funding that they get through getting business lines of credit, unsecured business line of credit as well. And in a minute, I'm going to define for you what is actually unsecured credit and what's unsecured business lines of credit we talked about. But one of the things I want to bring out and talk about first off is credit, because that's one thing most people are familiar with is a credit score. They hear about it, but a lot of people have not been educated in the area of credit scores. And so we want to talk about that and bring light to it. But also know that, you know, if your credit score is even in the fives or the fours, that it still can be repaired or it still can be enhanced. A lot of times it's basically because most people don't have knowledge of the credit system. And I'll go back to our education system as well. None of our education systems really in our universities and a lot of our colleges will even pay attention to personal financial credit or even educate you on personal financial credit, what you got to have. But that particular credit score is something that's drive so that you can have it to maintain your own personal credit that you get and your business credit. Now, that credit score that you get for your business that you're going to have to qualify for it, it's going to be something that is going to be in the name of the business and not in the name of the individual. But the individual is a personal guarantor. So what you're doing is you're using that business to get business lines of credit so that you can take care of your company and do the funding for your company. Because what happens most times when a lot of people go into business, what do? They go into business and they use their own money to fund their companies themselves. They use their own personal money. And I also do taxes too. But a lot of times the people won't even take that as a tax deduction, saying that they lent this money to the business, and then that they can charge the business interest as well and deduct that interest. So a lot of people don't do that, and they just use the money and to form the business. And a lot of times the first 3 years, a lot of companies, they take losses. But they could go further and say that that was lent to the business as a loan to start the business and form the business. But here's another suggestion for someone, even in establishing business lines of credit for your company. Let's say that you are going to loan that money that you start out with your company. You're going to loan it to your company. And the average person usually at least spends at least $1,000 in the formation of their company. But how many people will take that $1,000 and go down to the bank and tell the bank even, well, give me a line of credit against my own $1,000, and I'm going to use this $1,000 to form my company, and we're going to borrow against my own $1,000 and then pay this money back, where you're establishing business lines of credit by doing that. And as well, you can do the same thing for your own personal self, but you can do that for the business. And what bank wouldn't give you a loan against your own money? You're establishing business lines of credit for your company. It's your own money that's already you've already using, and you're already right. And you can use that to establish and create more lines of credit for your business as well.
All right, just take a sip of water. I'm coming right back to you. If you're just joining me, you're listening to the voice of Mr. Edward Barnes, who is giving us some instructions today on small business and entrepreneurial funding and how to use other people's money to run a lucrative business. Remember, we encourage you to call in and to be part of the conversation by calling 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. Okay, back to you, Mr. Barnes.
Okay, we were talking about the fact of actually
line of
creating business lines of credit for your company. And we went from credit, talking about having the knowledge of credit and what is required to have credit to use to get business lines of credit. Well, one of the other things that I shared with you briefly was just the fact of having the availability of creating business lines of credit yourself as well by just using your own funds that you use to start your company up with. So that's to bring up any listener that was not on the call. In these unsecured business lines of credit, you'll see that you used, in that particular case, your own money. But in our case, what we're doing with you, when you have the right credit score, we're not asking you for any collateral, which in that case we use money as collateral to get the business line. We're not asking for any income documents. We're not asking for any financial statements. And it also will require that personal guarantee of the 720 credit score that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things you want to do with getting the unsecured business lines of credit. And in the case that you don't, then our company will assist you with obtaining or locating what we call a business partner. And that business partner will, if you don't have the 720 score, will help you with being a business partner that will help provide the business with a 720 score and above so that you can get business unsecured lines of funding. And in those
and that's
unsecured
the,
lines
that's
of,
the credit sponsor, right?
That's a credit sponsor.
Okay,
but
great.
We use the terms today of
business partner
as a business partner because what you're going to do is make that person a member of that business and give him a role and responsibility.
Let me ask you a question. Does that credit sponsor / business partner has to be written in your business document, and at what percentage?
That person can be written in the business company as a business partner, but only for the position as administrative task and as administrative task for financing. And that person could be at a percentage. It will never be at a percentage of more than half of the company. And it's only for that particular time of obtaining that, the lines of credit.
So you're
saying... after the lines of credit are obtained, then that person can be removed by just your operating agreement and documents that are inside the company.
So if
you're
the
owner or the controller of the business.
If I'm hearing you right, this person needs to be written in at an administrative task of 50% of the company.
At less than 50%.
Less than 50%, because I was thinking for like women-owned businesses that is really going into looking for funding. If you give away, and maybe give away is not the right term, but if you allocate 50% to a business partner, then you are losing control. So it's less.
That's right. But what we're doing is we're not going to allow you to lose control of the company. You always maintain control of the company.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's less than 50%. Okay, moving right along. We have 48 minutes remaining. So I think you could move to the second thing now, or do you have other things you want to mention about the unsecured business line of credit?
Well, one of the things I want to talk about with a couple of other items, that, you know, the money that you do get, and you're going to get anywhere from $50,000 to $200,000 available line of credit for your company. And then you also want to use that for business purposes. You do not want to have this show up on your personal credit, and you also will have the availability to know that those expenses that you use for those items are tax deductible for the company.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, when you're doing it, and the reason we don't want it to be in your personal credit is that we want to avoid what we call commingling of funds. We don't
mm-hmm.
want you to be using it for personal things when you're supposed to be using it for business things.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we want to make
Makes
sure that
sense.
The business lines of credit stay for business lines
business.
Of credit and
it's,
not
it's,
personal
it's,
things.
That's right. But although from those business line of credits you can do like the personal development stuff, like the business conferences and all of those things.
Yes.
Any aspect of your that you personally benefit from, but it affects your business or it impacts or enhances your business, that is not double dipping.
Right.
Yes.
And what we'll also be doing is we'll get what we call business credit cards in the name of the company. Usually
right.
they're at the 0% introductory rates.
Mm-hmm.
And you will also have the availability of cash accessibility on those cards. And once we go and do the application for you, usually we'll have this within a 2 to 4 week period of fund, and we'll have it funded for you once we
Wonderful.
Do the process.
Man, that's good stuff. I'm glad we are hearing this now, and I'm sure other people out there are excited about what we're saying. Wonderful.
Right. Good.
We have 45 minutes remaining. I'm just keeping you abreast of time.
Okay.
It sounds like we're going to have you back on. I think you got some good stuff here, Mr. Barnes.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I hope that it's useful for the entrepreneur that's out there in the crowd, because a lot of this information isn't brought to young entrepreneurs that are starting business. And a lot of people look for the capital. They don't know where to go get capital. They don't have the structure, you know, of what they need to do to get capital. You go to the bank, and the bank will request that you have financial documents showing that your business has been in business for at least 2 years. And, you know, they want to see all of that information. And they want to also see that company has been profitable. And
mm-hmm.
how many companies you know will show a profit, you know, before at least they're even 3 years old.
That's right. So. I want to let the listeners who are listening, I want them to be encouraged, because although Mr. Barnes resides and operates out of Washington, D.C., his services is available nationally. So don't be listening and say, oh, well, I wish he was in my community. Because he can be in your community if you want him to be. So just listen and gather the information, because you can utilize his services wherever, whatever state you're in, right?
That's correct. Our office is located, we have one office located in California. We also have an office located in the Washington, D.C. area over in the Maryland location. Mm-hmm. But we cover all 50 United States. So
wonderful.
There isn't a place that we can't assist somebody that needs assistance with business funding.
Okay, so. Wonderful. So we are going to go into number two now?
Sure, we will go into number two and let them know that number two is the business unsecured personal business funding, which doesn't require a person to have a 720 credit score above. Usually, this is the place that we put people that have below that, because we'll start them to start building up their personal credit first. And then once they build up the personal credit, then they can go back and we can get them with the unsecured business lines.
And what does the amount at the excuse me, the unsecured business line, you say that an applicant could secure anywhere from $50,000 to $200,000 in lines of credit?
That's correct.
So what does the unsecured personal funding line look like?
The ranges for the personal are from 10 to 100.
10 to 100,000.
Yes. Now, when we do the unsecured personal lines of credit, the person has to have a 650 plus credit score. That's what we're looking for. But let's say that person has only a 600 credit score and they come to see me or they start talking to me. There are things that we can look at the person's credit and we can enhance and we can help them improve that credit score. Even if the credit score is 500 again, I'm affiliated with credit improvement agencies and companies that can improve a person's score in a short period of time, because a lot of times there are things on people's credit that they don't even know. People should check their credit like twice a year, and they don't, or at least one time annually. But there are things sometimes that are negative things that are on their credit they just don't know, and they can come off very, very easily. So for anybody that, you know, the biggest problem I see with a lot of people when we're talking to them is that we start talking about credit, and then somebody says, well, we need a 650, and they say, we don't have a 650, and they say, I can't accomplish that, or I can't do that. And they just quit at that particular point, and that's not the point to quit. So they should continue and go forward and improve the credit score so that we can get past that challenge, because the light gets brighter at the end of the tunnel, or even towards the end of the tunnel.
But a lot of us
don't
know that.
From somewhere.
Yeah, a lot of us don't know that, because we are only accustomed to be dealing with traditional bankers.
Right. If you come and work with me, if your score isn't where you want it to be when we start out to get what you need, well, we can still get it there, and I believe we can get it there in a short period of time. But now, at the same time, while I'm saying this, I don't want people to believe that I'm a miracle worker. So if you have, some past credit challenges or issues with, you know, foreclosures or bankruptcies or something to that sort, we can still do it, but it's going to take us a little longer. Those things are still available. So in doing the unsecured personal business line of credit, we're looking at some of the same things. But when doing those, the person has no obligation for consultation. There are no upfront fees. There's no collateral required. And we will also give them long-term business support. And it's just a stepping stone by going to the personal level to get to the unsecured business level of finance. for the funding. So that's the side of the unsecured personal business lines of credit. And we'll use the same type of card funding that we get for those people, and we try to make the same kind of funding available in the 2 to 4 week type of range too as well.
That's good timing. All right, so we're going to move to number three. We have 39 minutes remaining.
39 minutes remaining. Okay.
That's good. I just want you to know.
Okay. We're going to talk about retirement funding program that we have. We have a retirement funding program that we call the Diamond Retirement Funding Program. And what that is that it's someone that has an existing retirement program, like an IRA or a 401k that they've had with their previous employer. And they left their employer, and they've retired from them. They might have not retired from them. They might have just said, well, you know, I've decided I want to go out and just create my own business and start my own business. But what we're looking for is those individuals that have the retirement account, and we're trying to say that they're going to have at least $35,000 or more in that individual retirement account. Then what we do is we take that actual retirement account and convert the retirement account into a business-directed retirement account, which is a free account, and you're free to do so if you're going to invest that in your company. You can go to most banks and create a business-directed retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. And it's great for somebody that has a startup company. And usually you can have a zero interest rate on your funds, and you can have 100% of your cash accessible. And there are no penalties usually that the IRS will place on you, because what you're doing is you're taking that 401k or that IRA and you're rolling it over and putting it into a different type of retirement fund and using the funds that are from that as well.
Wonderful.
That's
I want to remind the listeners, you can call in at any time, 646-915-8166. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And a lot of people have that availability of those retirement funds, and they can use them. One of the other things that they can do as well with the retirement fund that I'll share with them, our company helps you set up that retirement fund. But one of the other things a person could do is they could take those funds and borrow against the funds, and then pay the funds back to the company. Can pay the funds back to the retirement account. So that way you still have your funds inside of your retirement account, and you just borrow it against it for your company to get up and start generating income and creating a profit, so they can pay it back to your retirement fund as well. So that's a great asset that a person would have to use for funding and starting up their funding for their company.
Beautiful.
Now, a lot of people will be in your audience and they'll say, okay, well, what would a person have to do to qualify for this? Who can qualify for it?
Okay, you had said four things. You had said unsecured business line of credit. Then you did unsecured personal business line of credit. And you just finished doing retirement line of credit. And what was the fourth thing?
Okay, and you said, well, the fourth thing is the revenue-based lending.
Okay.
Our revenue-based funding that we provide for companies.
Okay, so that's what we are moving into now.
Yes, that'll be the next category that we'll move into next. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone qualifies for that, and everyone that has, only thing you have to do is have a 401k or IRA that has at least $35,000 in it. And we can do them with IRAs that do not have the $35,000, but to make it worth a person's while to use that from their retirement, we try to say, you know, at least have it funded for up to $35,000.
Mm-hmm.
So The next one we're going to talk about is the revenue-based lending. That's the one that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that are in existing businesses, a lot of times, can help them. Let's say that you're a doctor, or you're an attorney, or you're a person that just has a shoe shop with an inventory, or you have what we call accounts receivable accounts that people pay on. Or let's even say you're a government contractor, and you have accounts receivable that you're receiving from your different clients. One may be the government. One may be people that are supposed to pay you, but you just haven't paid you, and you're due to receive that. So what we will do is we'll do something that we call revenue-based lending, and the loan is based upon the total revenue that you will receive, and this loan is uncollateralized. It's great for people that are franchises, too. I forgot. And what you would do is you receive 80% of the monthly gross business revenue that the company is receiving. And what we're doing is we're actually making that actual loan to you, and we'll give you a term of from 4 to 15 months to pay it back. You can get more funding based on the number of locations you got. And it usually takes us about like 48 hours to give you an approval for that business.
Now, and how long do they take? How long does it take to repay that back?
We're going to give you anywhere from 3 to 14 months to pay that money back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the amount of time we're going to give you to pay it back.
Mm-hmm. And what's the percentage? What's the percentage on that?
The percentage on that money. It will vary based on the amount of the actual loan itself.
All right. Okay.
So it depends on the size of the loan that a person will get, depending on how much the interest rate will be. But it also has to do with what we call whatever the prime lending rate is for that period of time. And they lend something like sometimes 3 or 4 percent above prime. So that's why I can't actually quote an actual rate at that time.
Does this process that you use, do they include points up front or no?
These processes that I use?
Right, for securing the funding. Does the borrower have to think about the points, you know, like sometimes they do points on certain loans. Are those only applied?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about private loans or hard money loans or something to that.
Okay, that's different.
You don't have to worry about the points. They're not going to charge you like, 4 or 5 points up front. On the particular loan. Your guarantee really is the funding that you're going to receive based on your revenue. So you don't have to worry about those points in this particular case. It's not that type of loan.
Okay.
So, but the minimum loan amount that we use is $5,000. A person would have to need or ask for more than $5,000. On this particular loan. And whoever the owner is, their ownership in that request, they have to have at least 10 to 15% ownership. Their credit score doesn't really matter. Their credit score can be 550 or, it really doesn't matter. It's based on the revenue of the company itself. But if a person is asking for 1 year, for greater than 1 year, or up to 1 year, they can go up to $40K, or they can go less than a year and go up to $150,000 as well. So they can get up to $250,000, depending on the number of locations too as well.
Okay, we have a caller. If you just allow me to take this call, please.
Yes.
Good morning, caller. Your first three digits are 419. Would you state your name, where you're calling from, and your question, please?
Hello, this is Ms. Computer Lady from Toledo, Ohio. How are you doing?
Hello, I am wonderful, my sister. It is so refreshing to hear your voice. I figured this would be right up your alley, lady friend.
And good morning. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody,
thank
too.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday, because I went through all of that, and happy Thanksgiving, everything.
Well, that's all right. At least it was good.
Yeah. What is your question for Mr. Barnes?
Well, first of all, let me just say thank you for having Mr. Barnes. It's been a great wealth of information, and also some of the material from the book you've read is great information too. You're very welcome. But let me ask this on a perspective as far as probably what a lot of small business owners have gone through or are going through now. Sometimes there are life events and you don't want to, but sometimes you have to end up, as they say, starting over. And as far as gaining business financing, probably either three or four of the options are not available to them at this time. But they're still going to pursue their dream of small business ownership and need funding. So is there information as far as alternative sources of funding in which can be gained to help support their businesses? And Dynamic Daphne knows me. I can be the type of person, okay, you're not going to ask the question? All right, I'll ask it then, because I need to know too.
That's right. We are all know. I tell you, as a matter of fact, I have an appointment with Mr. Barnes today after the show. So listen, guys, I'm not just bringing the experts on for you. I'm bringing them on for my business as well. So did you get the question, Mr. Barnes?
Yes. What she's saying, I believe if I heard you correctly, just so I make sure I get your question correctly, what you're asking is, there are other alternative methods or funding sources for a company if they don't fall into these four categories?
Yes, that's correct.
Is that what your question was? Okay. Yes, right. There are other funding. I have other sources of funding that can be provided for a company as alternative funding sources, if you're looking to acquire, you know, capital to fund your business that way as well.
Okay, because I'll put it this way. As far as the taking out alternative funding, as far as in the form of a loan, for some, that's not an option at this time. So that's why I'm asking the question, because some materials I've read, you know, it basically said, name me a business that hasn't gone through, you know, a time like that. Because sometimes a small business and even sometimes in the world of the corporations that they're going through what they're going through, sometimes it does take a starting over, even if you don't want to go through it, but you go on anyway.
Can I say something here even before Mr. Barnes answer? I want to just interject here and alleviate your any sense of anxiety, Miss Computer Lady, because, and I tell you why. When I listened to Mr. Barnes this weekend on that retreat, the reason I invited him here is because of all the alternative options he had for us.
Mm-hmm.
But based on what I heard this brother says, he's going to work it until he gets you something. And I that's the reason I said, man, I got to bring him on here for my listeners. Because as entrepreneurs and small business owners, there are some of us that's going through lean times.
And oh, definitely.
We need somebody like this who's going to let us know all is not lost. There is hope for you. Just give me time. So right. Now that was just my observation. If I was wrong, I'm open for his correction on that.
No, you're absolutely correct with that. There isn't, you know, any situation that most businesses are going through that I probably haven't heard or I wouldn't be familiar with because I experienced them myself. But on the other side of it, you're always looking for funding, and sometimes the traditional, and that's why this part of the financing arena interests me the most, because we're not dealing with the traditional situation here, because we're dealing with situations that people don't commonly talk about or people don't commonly lend for, and those situations are out there and they can be taken care of, and people can still receive funding. So, yes, there are other alternative methods, and there are several other alternative methods to assist with business owners, and a lot of them just haven't been introduced to them. But I don't think there's anything out there that, you know, can't be accomplished with whatever the challenge is.
That's right.
There's always an alternative method.
Wonderful. Did that answer that question?
Yes, it did. Thanks so much.
And knowing you as well as I do, I know you have another question. So you may go ahead and ask it. Ask as many questions you have until somebody has come on the line.
Yeah, she knows me too well. She knows I'm the detail oriented type. Hey, that's what it's about. I mean, when
that's
business,
right.
That's one of the things I've learned. You got to be, as far as detail are concerned. Actually, I didn't have another question, but I can always create one. I would go, okay, let me go this direction. How about the funding as far as learning about it? And I'm saying it from this perspective. Many times when it comes to businesses, one of the things, another workshop I attended that was talked about that I heard about before, which is true. There's a difference between managing a budget personally versus managing a budget small business-wise. Many times, and it's been mentioned in this workshop, it is why a good number of female small business owners find it, I'm going to say, challenging. Because thinking of budgeting home versus budgeting business, there are a lot of similarities, but there are a great number of differences. And does your program, Mr. Barnes, deal with that? So that's another question I have that I had to create. I didn't know what I was going to ask.
Now I'm going to put my accounting hat on. And
okay.
So as far as the budgeting goes on both personal and business, they're relatively the same. The budget is the budget. What you have is what's coming in, what's going out. So what we do is we have to manage those. Now, yes, we're going to probably manage them in a difference of the culture of the two, because one is some like personally close to you and the other one's just the business. But we're going to basically manage them the same way. So they're going to be basically the same. But we do work with people on the levels of budget and managing the budget and advise them on doing that for their business too as well. So we do it in both. I also teach personal financial planning too as well. So,
okay.
My hand is raised. I have a question. What does the business plan look like to really secure any of these loans? What kind of a business plan does the entrepreneur business person have in place?
In this particular case, for my funding, there's no requirement for a business plan. There's
I hear a lot of people just breathe a sigh of relief.
I was one of them.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, that's right. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all have to excuse us.
Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Barnes.
We're sorry.
Yes. Now, if you go to the traditional bank, the traditional bank is going to require you to have a business plan. But now,
that's right.
You know, let's look at it in the true sense of a business plan. What is a business plan? It is a plan. It is not an actual of what your business has done. It's just
that's
a
right.
plan, it's a forecast of what you're forecasting that your company is going to do. So
right.
to take this in the concepts of the real world, well, we don't need that. We don't need that at all. What we're doing is just basically giving you or providing you funding based on your personal guarantee that you're going to pay it back for your business, because if you get the funding and you can run the business is going to be successful, you're going to be able to pay it back.
You know what I like about your
organization,
for example, Ben, is the fact that it sounds like you're a one-stop shopping. You offer the support to make sure the business is successful to repay. We don't have
right.
to get money from you and go somewhere else for the professional service. You
right.
want your money back, and you can make sure you guide us in the right direction.
Right. I can help and assist and guide you in the correct direction to make sure that you have the funding to pay the money back as well. So, I mean, we do the accounting, we do the bookkeeping in my company as well. And so we'll also assist you with doing that and setting up the things so that, you know, it can be paid back. Now, one of the other things that I'll show you as well so that you can get additional business line to credit as well, because we don't want to just stop with just getting you $200,000. We want to get you to the point where you can get $1 million and have it available to run your business. So what we'll do is we'll set up processes so that you, because everybody, when they're paying their note back or the loan back, well, they're only going to pay that one payment. So instead of paying one payment, we're going to pay two payments and have it set up that you can pay those two payments back and pay the loan off early as well.
Right, that's so. Right. So give you a kick and notch up. Ooh, this is good stuff. Mr. Barnes, we really going to have you back. Man, you're good. We're going to really have to have you back. We have 17 minutes and 24 seconds remaining. So what I would love for you to do, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, which is my deepest section of gratitude in my life, for being on this show and for investing in my listeners. So what I want you to do, sir, is to use the remaining 15 minutes to just summarize our conversation, what you want to leave the listeners with, those who are going to be accessing it on archive and those who are live listening and Miss Computer Lady on the phone. And at the end of your summary, tell people how they can get in touch with you, please.
Okay. There is a few different ways that one can get in contact with me. One way individuals can get in contact with me is they can call my direct number, and that number is 877-797-3721. They can also email me, and they can also go to my actual funding website. The funding website is www.nsifunding.com.
Would you repeat that website, please?
Yes, that website is www.nsifunding.com.
And it is N as the letter N as in Nancy or N?
Yes, N as in November. S is in September. I as in N.
Funding.com.
Funding.com.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. And his name, listeners, is Edward Barnes. So I want to repeat the number for those people who will be accessing it on the archive. It is, the phone number is 877-797-3721. And the website where you can gather more information is www.NASSAMIIndiafunding.com. So I just wanted to repeat it so people hear it. So, yes, what do you want to leave us? What if you would give us some key bullet points to focus on to get in touch with you? What would those look like? Hold on, Miss Computer Lady, do you have any other questions?
No other questions, just a quick comment. The reason why I asked the question from before is that when it comes to financial literacy, that's one of my goals for this year, whatever I know and improve on that, because you have many times where business owners, especially when it comes to finances, they're either not as financially literate as they should be or not financially literate at all. So that's
right.
Why I asked that question.
That's right. We all need information. Thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for pointing that out, because there are many people out there that shame and pride prevent them from making the statement that you just made. But it is so accurate. And in order for us to go ahead to the wealthier financial land, because we are all wealthy because of the work we do, but now we need to tap into the wealthy financial place. And we are only going to be able to do that with the knowledge and information like we are getting today. So that is so important. So with 13 minutes remaining, Mr. Barnes, you can have 10 and I'll take 3.
Okay. We'll try to do that. Okay. In summary, I want to tell people that regardless of whatever your credit is, that you can obtain funding for your company. And one of the important things to run a business, you know, is the fact that you have capital to run it. Because if you don't have capital to run your business, you will not be able to run your business for very long. You will be out of business, okay? Your business will only run as long as it has capital coming into
it. That's right.
If you don't have capital, and that's the bottom line. And so a lot of people have great ideas that they want to go and open up and run a business, but not a lot of people research to find out how well this business will be profitable, or if this business will even be profitable at all for them. All they're looking at is this is their passion and this is what they'd like to do, this is what they enjoy doing. But the thing of it is that it has to make a profit, bottom line, because you're in business. That's what a business is there, that's structured to do for you. One of the things that you're going to have to do is that if it doesn't make a profit in the first 3 years, you're going to have to close it down, because the IRS is requiring today that if you have a business that it has to be profitable after 3 years, because if it's not, then it's considered to be a hobby and it's no longer a business.
So my goal
is to help educate and provide knowledge for business owners so their business can be profitable through raising capital and funding for the business in the early years, so that business can sustain as being a business and be more and more profitable throughout the years that it's there. So because those are the first few years are the weakest of any company, or the first few years. So the funding is there. Don't believe that you can't get it. Don't believe in the traditional. Please don't go to the bank believing that, you know, the traditional, because the bank's really not lending money, but they're taking in money, but they're not lending any money. So, but they're alternative places. There are alternative places that you can receive funding for starting up your company. And I challenge everybody out there in the audience, whether you do it with me or whether you do it with someone else, research the areas where you can obtain the funding and not have to work for it. Some people, they go and get grants. Some people want to go to the SBA loan process. But you can receive that and not have to go through those long, arduous processes to get funding.
You still have a few minutes. You didn't take all. Why don't you just tell us briefly about some of the support and services that you offer those of us who secure a loan from you?
Well,
I know you mentioned payroll and all of that, but I'm sure you do other stuff.
Yes, we do accounting services that will also provide you with bookkeeping if you need it, and also provide the financial statements that later on, and as you go on in business, that you'll need to be aware of as how well your company is doing and reviewing those to track the historical process for your company. But we do financial statements for the company. We do the bookkeeping. We will do asset allocation reviews for you. If you need equipment for your company, we can assist you with going to different places that will allow and assist you to get equipment for your company, too, as well. So depends on what your company actually needs.
Do you help us to get buildings to purchase real estate for our business?
Yes, we can assist you with purchasing real estate for your business, too, as well. We can look at, I have different advisors that can advise you on your lease, different types of business lease that you can get for your business, too, as well. So there isn't any area that my customers that you'll need business insurance when you're starting up, because a lot of times you'll need what we call E&O insurance or business insurance. Liability. Some people that you get commercial leases to do your business with, or do your business in house, whether you buy the building or if you lease the building, they'll require that you have business insurance as well. So we have those services available that you can contact and work with those people to provide that for you too as well. And just about any services that you pretty much need. For business, we're there to assist and help you with. We also do asset protection. We also assist people with doing estate planning too as well.
So you are indeed a one-stop shopping under the one umbrella. This way you don't have to be running back, because it makes things so much easier, because you're not running from one place to another, and this company don't understand the next company, and you end up tearing your hair out. So it's really refreshing to see the way that you have it all set up.
Yes, and then most businesses, I understand business operations in different industries, and we can usually advise a company, because I do business consulting too, in different operations for different companies, and it is system and the different operations that they have to do as to the structure of the business and the formation and consistent operation.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, Mr. Barnes, I hope you even have 1/4 of the fund that I had. And, I thank you for really giving us a wealth of information, tangible things that we can use. And I pray that people will utilize your service and just call in, because, listen, guys, 2013 is our year to make a difference in everything that we do. I thank you, Mr. Barnes, for calling in. Oh, we just had a guest that just came on. Guest 1293. I don't know whether or not you sign on with a question in mind. If you did, you can either call in real quick. We have 5 minutes remaining. You can call in with your question if you have one. 646-915-8166, or quickly type it in the chat room because we have 5 minutes remaining. I thank my honored guest. If he could just repeat his contact information again. What I see, if this person has a question for you, I would appreciate that.
Okay. My number, contact number, is 877 1-800-981-2121. And you can contact me at this website, www.n, as in Nancy, S as in Sam, I as in India, funding, funding.com.
All right. So, again, I thank you, Miss Computer Lady. It was so refreshing, my sister, hearing from you. Remember to send me that email where I can get you emotional intelligent assessment. That's $150 value that my honored guest gave out last week. So send me the email dynamicdaphne1@gmail.com. And Mr. Barnes, you can send me an email too for that as well, and I'll get it out to you guys as soon as he gets them to me. And guest 1293, just access the archive of the show. You will be blessed by listening to this information here. So again, I thank you guys. I'll see you on Sunday night. I thank Miss Computer Lady for calling in. Thank you so much, Mr. Barnes, for coming on the show. And I want to remind you, my listeners, remember that you were created for a destiny. And with the information you got this morning, there's no reason why you could not utilize this to create your destiny. So long, and I'll see you next Wednesday, and I'll see you on Sunday night again. Stay blessed.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? My destiny. I know what I'm here for.
for every struggle that came with this lady. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. And I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change names.